What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. Be sure to follow us on our Patreon. For less than a cup of coffee in a month, $3, you get exclusive content. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, footage before it's even out on YouTube. So yeah, check that out. Help support us. It helps us get better gear, better quality content. So it goes directly to improving the quality. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Okay, we're going.
Hello, Governor.
Wow.
Hello, Mike.
I'm voting for good football.
Christian McCaffrey. That's who I'm voting for because look at this.
Wrong year, brother. 2023 was last year.
Woo! Yep. Backwards jersey and everything for him because daddy's back.
Wow. Daddy's back. You look like a turtle in a shell.
Whoa. I will say this is a bit tight.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Muscles over here. I gotta cut some of this.
Let's talk some motherfucking football, bitch.
Everyone, welcome back. We are back here for another episode of In the End Zone. We got some great content here to share with you guys. Let's start off real quick. Keaton, how's your weekend going? How's your week going? You know, give us a little update. Where are you, by the way? It looks like you're on a nice, beautiful vacation on beautiful election time.
Let me preface. I come home this weekend and we see some wood, you know, like some like fucking wood droppings on our floor. And me and Sage are like, what is going on? And we call some guy out there and he's like, dude, you got termites. So we have termites in our house now. So we decided we had some PCO to use. So we booked a flight. We are in Turks and Caicos right now on a pretty nice beach. Got the discount, you know, the Seahawks special. Yeah, we're on a beach vacation while the house gets termite removed. So nice. We're here.
Good, man. Zach, how's the week going? How's your week going? Weekend?
It was good and bad. We had a good weekend with Diego and going out with McKenna and a couple of the boys, which was fun. I didn't have to be depressed on Sunday night because the 49ers did not play, which was nice. But my fantasy team just fucking blows. It's really bad. I mean, all three of my teams right now are just not playing well. In my other league, I've lost 5 straight. And now in this league, I believe I've lost 3 straight and I have not gone over 100 points in the last 3 weeks. So not ideal with that. Other than that, work's been good this week. Can't complain. And realistically, I'm ready to talk some football.
Nice. Good. Anthony.
Got it. Yeah, week's been good. We're still keeping up on the grind with, the investigation stuff. Got somewhere to be tomorrow. It's going to be a nice, early morning.
Bakersfield.
But yeah, no,
it's probably like 200 degrees there too.
It's gonna be so hot. Just been going on with that, been playing, you know, grinding on that COD Black Ops 6 double XP weekend as well. Apparently Kyler Murray's also been playing during that as well because he sucked ass in that glass game.
Good call, by the way, dude. Good call.
Yeah.
great call.
Called it. You called it.
But without a doubt, let's head into this, shall we?
Without a doubt, dude. Let's head into it.
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is a
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
This podcast.
Okay, wait.
Not gonna lie.
I gotta say, hold on. There's a couple of things that like have culminated in this intro that are starting to rain true. The Jared Goff, the Geno Smith, the 2-7, 2-8, it doesn't matter. That's a pretty realistic intro now.
Yeah.
Seriously. There's a lot that's like kind of cooking.
It is.
It's aged like fine wine.
So you noticed that as well. I noticed a couple things too. The ankle Zach part, that shit had me dying.
I saw that too, actually.
What the fuck is that? It's like, oh shit, I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
What
shit all laggy because Keaton, you're low-key.
No, you're fine. I'm good. You're fine now.
Well,
yeah, my ankle is perfectly fine.
Yeah, go. Mine are not still. Well, let's dive into the week 9 recap. All right, fellas, shall we?
Let's do it.
Starting off with Thursday night football, we had the Texans versus the Jets. Jets won this game 21-13. Moving on into Sunday, we had the Patriots at Titans. Titans won this game 20-17 in overtime. The Dolphins and the Bills faced off against each other in Buffalo, and the final score of that was 30-27. The Bills ended up taking that win. The Broncos and the Ravens were facing each other. 41-10 was the final score. Ravens won that game. Chargers at Browns. Chargers won this 27-10. The Saints at Panthers. The Panthers surprisingly won this 23-22 in a close face-off match. The Bengals ended up beating the Raiders 41-24. The Commanders ended up taking down the Giants 27-22. And the bummy Cowboys lost to the Falcons 27-21. The Cardinals ended up beating the Bears 29-9. And the Eagles beat the Jaguars 28-23. The Lions beat the Packers 24-14. Jared Goff is still very good at Zach. And the Rams beat the Seahawks 26-20 in overtime. Sorry about that, Keaton.
We called it.
Yep. Moving into Sunday night football, we had the Colts at Vikings. The Vikings ended up beating the Colts 21-13. And for Monday night football, wow, surprising, shocker. Another Chiefs win, 30-24.
Prime time, the Chiefs won.
7-0, 8-0, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But that's pretty much what happened, fellas. But let's move into some of the games we kind of want to talk about here. The first one we kind of want to dive in a little bit here is the Saints and Panthers game that we kind of want to talk about a little bit more. First talking point about this is Bryce Young actually good or are the Saints just bad? Fellas?
Yeah, the Saints are just bad. I mean, realistically, I'm not going to say that Bryce is horrible because that Panthers team might lose to a college football team, but I'm not going to say he's good either. I mean, realistically, that's probably the best start and finish to a game that he's had in his small sample size of a career. But the Saints have lost 7 straight and just fired their head coach, which we'll talk about later. The Saints are bad. Like, they're bad.
Yeah.
I don't think Bryce Young is good, but I'm not going to say I think that he's horrible. I think it's just kind of neutral. And it's the Panthers without, again, just showing that they're a horrible organization and the Saints just being horrible. Losing 7 in a row is really, really hard to do in the NFL. Like, really, really hard.
It is difficult.
So, and it's crazy. I lean a little bit more to the side of the Saints being bad, but I think there's truth in both of them.
I do think it is crazy that the Saints were looking very good and very promising in the first 3 games of the season. Like, they look dangerous. And out of nowhere now, there's just 2. Thank you. Thank you, Keaton. They were looking really good. And now it's just, what's going on? What's going on in New Orleans? We don't know. What is happening?
A little bit of voodoo magic, man.
Yeah. Keaton, do you have any words for that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think all of us kind of predicted this. Like, I think the Saints came out and were far more, like, dominant than we expected them to be. At the end of the day, though, the Saints for the last couple of years have done this where they've gotten our hopes up or, like, just gotten NFL fans' hopes up by – putting a really good team on the field and then all of a sudden just 1 week shitting the bed. What I didn't expect is how much of a drastic turn it went from that offense scoring more points in 2 games than it took them to score in 6 games. And I think obviously we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the consequences of that game, but they allowed Bryce Young to start to gain a little bit of confidence back. And think that's, you know, if you're the Panthers, you might be happy with his performance. It's not the best, it's better than nothing. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of getting your fans' hopes up and then shitting the bed, the Seattle Seahawks. Where does Seattle go from here after that Rams game? Keaton, I want to talk to you a little bit about this.
Okay. Look, I want to specify. A lot of criticisms I've had for the defense were mitigated in this game. Tariq Woolen had a touchdown, even though he got burned for two touchdown catches. I'm sorry, he had an interception. My apologies. and I've complained a lot about the run game. Seattle's run game is one of the worst in football right now. Their run defense, I should say. And they allowed, I think it was 3 yards a carry against Kyren Williams, who is a top five running back in the NFL right now, and absolutely shut them down. Yeah, I mean, look, Seattle allows 13 points in regulation football. You know, obviously they have that touchdown that goes against them in overtime to lose the game. But, you know, that defense played well, man. The defense looked good. And I think, you know, now something that I'm starting to see is DK Metcalf, man. That's the statement I'm going to make. And DK Metcalf's impact when he's on the field versus when he's off is so massive and so gradual. Or I guess like so just insane, because when he's not on the field, that offense just does not know what to do. And they have failed to establish a run game. They have, in my opinion, the worst offensive line I have ever seen them put onto a field. And look, I can't blame Geno Smith for all the interceptions. He had one to Jackson Smith and Jigba that bounced literally right out of his chest and turned into an interception. But again, Geno Smith, red zone interception that turns into a pick six, goes the other way. Next drive, another red zone interception. Also on that offensive line, two snaps, one of them a bad snap, and one of them Geno just was not paying attention.
Not again. Not this again.
Connor Williams. I hope, honestly.
That's 4 and 2 weeks.
It's 4 and 2 weeks, dude. And I think, you know, the main thing I can take away from this game, and if there's any positive I can take away from this game, is that Jackson Smith and Jigba finally had the game that I was really hoping he could have as a former first round pick. Two touchdowns. He had 180 yards.
Yeah.
He was absolutely cooking. He could have had 200 yards if there were two plays where he scored a total of 40 yards and both were called back for holding penalties. So,
and I think he dropped that one. That was like 20 yards down the
field. Exactly. So I think if you're Seattle, you're not fully upset about how the defense plays because they played great. You're pissed about how that offense played. And Geno Smith said it. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I really just don't know where they go from here. DK is going to come back, whatever, but they need this bye more than ever.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense because K9's a top 10 back when he's healthy.
Okay. But here's the thing. K9 is a top 10 back and I still believe he's a top 10 back. The problem is,
I think he is for sure.
Geno Smith steps back and he literally has less than 2 seconds to get that ball out.
Yeah.
They in overtime on 3rd and 1 tried to rush. And, gain some momentum, gained an advantage, try and get down to the end zone in the red zone. And they could not gain a single yard. And then immediately they go for it on 4th and 1. Exact same play, could not gain a yard. And Mike McDonald said, good teams can gain a single rushing yard on 2 attempts.
Yep.
And I was like, man, that speaks volumes.
Couldn't agree anymore.
Look, I expected Seattle to be a rebuild year. I did not expect it to be in the manner of which I'm seeing it. I thought the offensive line would be a little bit better. But
the thing is, I mean, you look at the NFC West standings, you guys are still in it.
Nope. I know.
Going into this bye week, you guys are one game back from first.
I'm a little disappointed. We'll talk about some trades. I'm a little disappointed they didn't trade for an offensive tackle. So it is okay.
The 49ers made one fucking move and I don't
just, we just, we move on. The Rams, man.
Yeah, I mean,
good for the Rams. That's all I can say.
Okay. Hey, I'll say one thing. Like I just mentioned, that NFC West, it's up for grabs.
Yes, it is.
I know that you're upset about that team, but the Seahawks can still win it. The Niners can still win it. The Cardinals are winning it.
No, it's, I know.
Going into fucking November. The Cardinals are winning it. You got that on their bingo card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fuck, man.
Insane.
It is what it is. But, I mean, that's going to be a fun division to see how it kind of pans out. But, yeah, I don't know about Seattle. They're in a tough position.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a rebuild year. I have to accept it.
Yep. Right. Well, moving on. We want to talk a little bit about the Dolphins and Bills game. Now, this game, honestly, was a very good game. Like, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I don't know about you guys, but I had low expectations for this game. But this game actually ended up being pretty good. But it does bring up the question, like, can the Dolphins still make it to playoffs? You know, is that going to happen? Can you see them making playoffs right now?
Nope.
I can.
You nope. can. Explain.
I can. Absolutely not.
The last two games.
Okay. Sorry. I want to. Sorry. No, before you go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to say, is it because you're a fan of Tua? Because I know you're a fan of Tua.
No, I don't. Of that, or? I mean, I think the team is.
They're 2-6.
A trillion. Hold on. I think the team is a trillion times better with Tua than without. Obviously, we've seen that. Right. They lose to the Cardinals by a single point on a last second field goal. Okay, winnable game, whatever. Then they lose to the Bills, who have statistically always had their number, by 3 points. We're talking about the Bills here, who, in my opinion, other than the Ravens, are the only team that could really compete against the Chiefs to take that number one seed. And I think if you're the Dolphins, you're looking at the rest of this division. Okay, you have the Patriots, you have the Jets. You can beat both those teams just based on your high-powered offense. And then you're looking at the rest of the division. Okay, the Ravens or the Steelers are already going to lock up one of those wild card spots. So then, can the Bengals hold on? Because the Bengals are 4-5 right now. You have the Colts at 4-5. And then you have the Chargers at 5-3 and the Broncos at 5-4. It's not out of the realm of possibility for one of those teams to really just monumentally collapse. I'm just saying the Dolphins could. I really do think the Dolphins have an opportunity here. Like the Ravens have already locked up a spot. I have no faith in the Bengals. We're talking about the Bengals who play the Ravens. Then they play the Steelers in the next 3 weeks. They play the Steelers twice. If you're Dolphins fans, I'm not saying your odds are good, but they're not eliminated yet, right?
Okay. So okay, let me ask you guys a question. What's the lowest amount of wins that gets a wild card spot in the AFC? 10?
I don't know.
9?
9?
9-8?
9's realistic.
So they're 2-6. I would say 9. They're 2-6. They still have the Rams, who have been playing a lot better. The Raiders, which is a win. The Patriots, which, again,
it's going to be a win.
Divisional game, probably should be a win. But then they play the Packers, the Jets, the Texans, and the 49ers.
But not look, happening. Look, not happening. Have the Niners been dominant? Have the Texans been dominant? The Texans just lost to the Jets, and you're saying, hey, the Dolphins are going to beat the Jets. So now that conversation starts six. To – okay, but the,
six.
The like Jets were 2-6 games, before they beat the Texans.
6-7, maybe fucking 9-point underdogs.
Okay, and then the Packers. The Packers, I think, realistically, are the only way that they could genuinely, and I mean this with all sincerity, they could win out except for the Packers game. I think they could still beat the Packers, but the Texans just lost to the Jets. The Texans just lost to the Jets. So if you're going to play that argument that the Dolphins can beat the Jets but not beat the Texans, then I'm a little confused on where that argument might lie. The Texans have not been good. So yeah, I'm just saying lie. It's
there's
not out of the realm
one
of
team from that division. It's going to be the Bills that makes the playoffs.
Okay.
That's my opinion. Okay. But I do say the Jets and the Dolphins are kind of in the same realm where they're getting healthy. They look like they're starting to click a little bit. They've had some tough losses, but there's too many that piled up against them. 2-6.
Sure.
Going into a schedule like that, I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Okay. Well, it's the next game, speaking of the Jets and the Texans and everything, is the Jets and Texans game, actually. I'm going to say it. The Texans are bad at football. They're not great this year. They're not great this year. They are probably some of the most overhyped NFL team for this season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that argument. It's tough because they're pretty injured too, you know? But going into that division, we thought maybe Indianapolis could possibly do well against them and, you know,
well, we thought Anthony Richardson would be better
in the AFC South. And we also thought the Jaguars would be better and they could contend against Houston in the AFC South as the number one seed too. But both those teams are ass. The Colts are fucking ass. Richardson is not going to come back and play well. And if he does come back, I don't think he's going to do anything this year. Seems like it's kind of a growth year for him. And if he's a franchise guy, we'll never know. So they're going to win that division, but they are not a top 10 team. And Keaton, you have been saying this the last 3 weeks. We have continually put them in our top 10 because, let's be honest, 7 through 14 right now is kind of it's a shit show. It's a crapshoot. The team 7 through 14 could probably fucking rotate every single week, and we'd be like, yep, this team's a number 18. This team, it's a crapshoot. So Yeah, they're not a top 10 team, and they just had a pretty bad loss. Like, it was pretty convincing. Like, it didn't look like they were going to win any portion of that game, and it didn't really seem like in any portion of that game we thought they were going to win. I thought the Jets had it the whole time, and a lot of us were like, oh, the Jets are probably going to do what the Jets do best, choke. But look, the Texans, they're exactly like the Vikings of, what was it, 2022? Was it
2 years ago?
Yeah, two where they ago? Had... Yeah. They had more points against than they had points for, which
and
is
and then
nuts.
They made the playoffs won, and got obliterated.
Yeah, yes, yes. They won like 10 to 12 games, and they won every single game by one score or more. And this is exactly what this team is right here. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what this mm-hmm. team is. Not going to win much. Bad loss. I don't know if you guys have anything else to say, but go for it.
Yeah, I don't have much. I mean, I just said my piece. I've said it all season. I have no faith in the Texans at this current point in time. They're not healthy. Not healthy yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, man, I'm not shocked by that Jets win.
Look,
it's one of those trap games.
You know, we haven't really talked about this, but there's a guy that's a sophomore quarterback there that's maybe having a little bit of a slump.
A little bit of a sophomore slump.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, these last couple of games have been pretty brutal for him. It's been tough. He has not thrown more than one touchdown in the last three games. Mind you, he hasn't thrown an interception, but his rating has been 58.8, 99.5, and 59.2 in the last three games. He has a one touchdown to zero interception rate. And in the whole season, he's throwing for 2,139 yards, 11 touchdowns, four interceptions, and has a QBR 56.3, which is 16th. I mean, his rating the last three games combined probably is 60-something. His best is 99.5 in the last three games, so... I mean, it's tough watching them. I don't know. That offense is just not clicking with Nico Collins being out. And realistically, Stephon Diggs being out too has not helped that team at all. And Tank Dell, we thought he was a wide receiver one, not a wide receiver one.
Yeah, Nico Collins has stepped up.
Yep.
Well, all right. Moving on to the Lions and Packers game, our last game that we want to talk about. I said this last week, and I think it's now time to really talk about it. Are the Lions the best team in the NFL?
Yeah.
Are they? Because I think they are.
Is it undisputed?
It's undisputed. I'm sorry.
Undisputed.
I think it's undisputed.
Look at the strength of schedule. And look at their dominance of win.
They are blowing some fucking teams out of the water. Out of the water.
They are the most skilled NFL team right now.
Yep. And realistically, I think the Chiefs are great, but if they were to play 1v1 in the regular season, I think the Lions would beat them by a good margin. Just because the Chiefs, hey, like we said, they're kind of like the Texans or the Vikings of 2022. They've won every single game by one score or less. Besides the 49ers. Every single game besides that game. So it's like, dude, again, I'm not going to fucking bet against the Chiefs because it's the Chiefs and they're not anything like the fucking Vikings or the Steelers or any team that we've seen like that, the Texans that haven't proved it because they have proved it. But all I'm saying is that Lions team, they are easily the best team in the NFC, and realistically, I think it's pretty undisputed they're the best team in the NFL. I mean, they are cooking up some crazy, crazy fucking plays, man.
I think they have a really good thing going on right now with their running back in the backfield right now. Like, it's honestly insane the way they got it. It reminds me, Zach, of the Bruins with their goaltending last year.
So I want to see, that actually does remind me of it. I want to see the stat because I think I saw it earlier, but I can't find it right now on Google. Anyways, I saw like the last 30 or 40 pass attempts from Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown have been completed. The last 30. He has thrown the ball to Amon-Ra the last 30 times. He has not dropped or overthrown him once. So is a crazy fucking connection. Ben Johnson. I mean, if he's not a head coach next year, I would be concerned.
Something I read that I thought was kind of interesting. Penei Sewell, after that NFC Championship loss where they, basically blew a 17-point lead in insane fashion. I think I read something. He's rewatched that NFC Championship like 20 times, and he'll rewatch highlights before every game. And I think that is one of the most terrifying things.
That's sick.
Because that's got to be one of the most demoralizing. Yeah. Losses.
Dude, I will say
any team.
I will say. So the 49ers are obviously getting more healthy, and we'll talk about that later. However, there is a game That's after, I believe, Thanksgiving that we should circle right now, because that is going to be a bloodbath.
Could be a blowout. Bloodbath or a blowout.
No. I mean, regardless of what happens, that game is going to be probably the most physical game of the year.
What, yes. It is?
No.
It's week 17.
Oh, it's December 30th.
It's after 30th. I'm sorry. Not after Thanksgiving. 49ers versus Lions. Monday night football game. Man, oh man. That is going to be a physical, fun game to watch. I'm just hoping the Niners go on a crazy streak and we get a battle of the two best teams in the NFC, if that actually is the case. But regardless, I want a good game. And realistically, hey, when Penei Sewell's not playing my team, I love him. He's Trent Williams 2.0, in my opinion. I mean, he is a fucking dog.
Yeah.
Gotta love the way he plays football.
No, he's good.
I do my AirPods, but I'm not staying in.
All right, well, that wraps up for the games that we really want to talk about. Let's head into the news a little bit right now. As we all know, the trade deadline, it's here. It's upon us right now, gentlemen. And there have been some trades that have been happening right now. So what we're going to do is we're just going to list them off here, and then we're going to go back to the ones that we just kind of want to discuss a little bit more. First thing, the Ravens are trading for cornerback Tre'Davious White. The Steelers are trading for linebacker Preston Smith. The Steelers are trading for a fifth round pick to the Jets for wide receiver Mike Williams. The Commanders are trading for cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. The Seahawks will not be trading DK Metcalf, not a trade, but it is confirmed they are not going to be trading DK. So for you Seahawks fans that are maybe somewhat worried about it, no need to worry about that anymore.
Love it. Life's good.
Cowboys are trading a 2025 fourth round pick for wide receiver Jonathan Mingo and a 2025 seventh round pick from the Carolina Panthers. And the Lions are acquiring Za'Darius Smith and a 2026 seventh round pick from the Browns for a 2025 fifth round and a 2026 sixth round pick. So which one of those do you guys would like to talk about?
I have.
Zach, do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite, and I think the best trade so far is definitely Marcus Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore. I don't think it's close, realistically. And I think there's a couple of them that are, like, decent. I mean, Jonathan Mingo, that's one we probably didn't need to fucking mention. He's not going to have an impact at all. Tre'Davious White is completely washed. He's been horrible for the Rams. The Steelers trading for linebacker Preston Smith doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because that is probably the best defensive end and outside linebacker core in the league. So I guess you add depth. Mike Williams is completely washed as well. That man sucks ass. And Za'Darius Smith, I mean, he's not a replacement for Aiden Hutchinson. So I think Za'Darius Smith is pretty good, but I would easily give my number one to our boy Marshawn Lattimore. Realistically, I've liked Marshawn for years now. I wish the 49ers picked him. And I think he was the 2016 class. I want to make sure that's right. Marshawn Lattimore.
2017.
Yeah. And when was he picked? That's
2017.
Eleventh. And where were the Niners that year? Can you see it?
Yeah, I can find out right now.
Because we picked someone where I was like, dude, I don't like that. But I mean, like I said, I think easily the best trade so far has been the Commanders trading for Marshawn Lattimore and
31. They picked Reuben Foster. What a pickup.
I was really hoping that they were gonna trade up for that because I wanted Marshawn, but they didn't, and he was a beast coming out of Ohio State. But like I said, I mean, that Commanders defense, it's been decent, kind of the middle of the pack for a lot of stats. And realistically, I think it's been better against the pass than it has been against the run. So you would have probably liked them to see or make a move where it was more so, you know, linebacker, defensive line. Although that defensive line against the pass is fantastic. But you just added a cornerback one to a defense that already is pretty good against the pass. At least it's decent. So I loved that pickup for them, and Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is going to thrive in the Commanders team. Like, I think he's going to be very, very good there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is one trade I actually did want to mention. It's actually one that Zach said he didn't care about too much. It's the Mike Williams trade. This kind of caught my eye a little bit for the Steelers, because I believe that Mike Williams is going to be one of those deep ball threats. And I think if Russell Wilson continues to stay, if he continues to start for the Steelers, I think, and knowing Russell Wilson, how he does love to throw those deep balls, I think that Mike Williams could be a very good receiver for the Steelers, because not only do you have George Pickens now, but you also have Mike Williams back there, back in the deep ball route. And I don't know. I think that could be very beneficial for the Steelers, and especially for how Russell Wilson likes to play.
I mean, I think he can open up that offense. I just think that he is not what he was with the Chargers. He is a shell of himself. No. I'll say that. Especially this year. I feel like he's just not as explosive. He doesn't jump nearly as high. He's had some drop issues, which, again, I mean, it could be good to open it up, and George Pickens might, you know, do really well because of this. But I don't think it's bad. I guess it's a good pickup for their team just with, you know, a fit. But like I said, I think it's kind of like a Za'Darius Smith. I think it's a good pickup, but you're not really, like, trading for someone that's going to make, like, a massive, massive impact stats-wise or, like, just winning you games-wise. Like, I don't see Mike Williams going out there and winning them a game off a Hail Mary or like a long bomb. You know, I don't see Za'Darius Smith getting two sacks, one being a forced fumble, and them picking that up and winning. But I think Marshawn Lattimore can make a game winning play. And he's done that with New Orleans. And maybe I'm wrong with Mike Williams. I don't know. I've seen him play with how Aaron Rodgers has been complaining with him, and how that Jets team has been specifically with Mike Williams when he's been on that team. And I don't see it, but I don't know. I mean, like you said, I didn't even think about it like that. Honestly, I think he could open up a lot for that team. And realistically, we're seeing that with fucking Russ now. I mean, he's opening up that offense, so it could be good.
Yeah, could be. Well, Keaton, did you want to talk about any of these trades, or are you okay?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I mean, I was kind of hoping Seattle trades for an offensive lineman. Obviously it's a rebuild year, so I'm not upset. I think Tre'Davious White could be a really big impact corner for Baltimore, mainly because I don't know if Nate Wiggins has really been able to step up to the plate out of Clemson for them. And I think bringing in Tre'Davious White, who's got the experience and the veteran leadership that you might need for a cornerback room that probably needs it, they didn't get worse with it, you know? And I think if anything, it benefits the young Bucks on that team. So I like that one the most out of what we haven't talked about, I should say. And then obviously just the Lions getting Za'Darius Smith is huge, mainly because the Lions just keep getting better. Like, they're in win now mode. They just keep getting better. I mean, defensive end was a huge position of need for them, obviously, after they lose Aiden Hutchinson. So it's next man up mentality out there. And I expect them to continue winning. So
again, I think it's a good pickup. None of these are like eye popping to me.
Yeah. Know? Like nothing's
going
to,
I think these are like mainly fits, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nothing's all like nothing too crazy. Nothing like, holy shit, boys. Like this is going to be a game changer.
Yeah. And like some of these guys are big names, you know, like Mike Williams. Right. I mean, during his time with the Chargers, he was probably the best deep ball threat there was. Marshawn Lattimore, he's been one of the best, if not top three cornerback for the last, you know, 7 years. So there's a couple of them. Za'Darius Smith, I think he was second in sacks a couple years ago. So it's like there's definitely, you know, some pros.
Yeah, he's a three-time Pro Bowler. This is what I want to say. As recent as 2022.
So the Commanders are 16th overall against the pass. And then I think they're a little bit better against the run. Let's see this. Yeah, so they're 12th against the run, 16th against the pass. They're kind of in the middle of the pack for a lot of stats. And realistically, I've seen a couple of stats where, you know, the Commanders are decent against the run, but I know that they've given up the most yards per attempt. So you'd probably would have liked to see maybe a linebacker pickup, because that obviously, you know, can be either linebacker or defensive lineman or safeties or cornerbacks just not making plays when they need to fill the gap. So Marshawn Lattimore. I just think that's the best, and specifically when you're the 16th best team against the pass and you need a playmaker to be that guy, stop their number one cornerback. I just think that he's been that guy and he can help with tackling. So to me, that's the biggest one. I like Za'Darius too. I think he's a good fit in that defense. I just don't think it really matters. Like, that team is going to win probably 90% of that game or their games with offense. Like, that offense is just unstoppable. And Anthony, I think you brought up like a really good point with Mike Williams. I think he could be a great fit just to open him up. I don't see Tre'Davious White. Like, I don't see Tre'Davious White at all. Like, when he's played for the Rams, he has been like bad. So And that team, realistically, the Ravens, I know that they have a decent secondary, but to trade for a guy that's a little bit older when you already have an older secondary, I don't know if that's going to help you too much. And they've definitely had some mishaps in that secondary too. But like what you said, Keaton, their rookies are not playing too well. So
no.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It was interesting. There were not a lot of big names thrown around. I heard that the Niners were looking at Buckner, which I would have really liked. I know that we traded for Davis, who's a defensive lineman for the Texans, which is a point of need for the 49ers. But again, not a big trade. So I was a bit disappointed with our team with that too. I saw some names like Deontay Johnson. He was thrown around a little bit with the 49ers before he got traded to the Ravens. And then there were a couple other guys, and you know, I was a little bit disappointed. I would have really liked to see Buckner coming back. That would have been fucking sick. Like, he fits our system really well, but he wasn't moved. And there's a couple of guys, yeah, I guess, that were bigger names, like DK. He didn't really get moved. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it was like a boring trade deadline, but I felt like it just wasn't
moving too much.
Expectations. Yeah. Right.
I will say,
kind of average, you know?
I will say, Ernest Jones going to Seattle from Tennessee. You guys might not know who he is, but he's a linebacker.
No, I know Ernest Jones. Probably he played for the Rams last year.
Yes, he did.
He led probably that team in tackles.
Yes, sir. Probably the main reason that defense was firing on all cylinders. He was flying around the field. So that was a good trade.
Downhill.
Underrated trade. We didn't really talk about it at all. I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but mainly that was probably my favorite trade overall. Pretty biased in that decision as well. So
I mean, he played well. Yeah, I think it's going to be Marshawn Lattimore. Like, not even
sure. Question, I agree. But
I agree. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the other set of our news, since the trade talks are now done, I think that the fact that the Eagles picked up Saquon Barkley and got that trade from the Giants, one of the best. If you guys did not see the last game with the Eagles game, Saquon probably made one of the most insane hurdles I've ever seen in my life while watching NFL. Keaton, yeah, let's hold up. Yeah.
Let's just be silent too, because this deserves silence. Rewind that. This was fucking Madden. He was just spamming buttons.
Let's watch this juke. Let's watch this first. Catch him. This guy has the perfect ability to get him. He's backfooting now. Get off me. Look at this. Hey.
Oh my God. You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of the Le'Veon Bell play with who was it? Calais Campbell. Was that who it was? He's like, oh, you know what I'm talking about? That crazy juke in the hole. It was a defensive lineman. I can't remember. Macaroni. That shit was crazy.
Oh my. Oh.
Chicken strips.
Look at that, dude. Wait.
Rewind it. Collard greens. Yams.
Cornbread.
Mac and cheese.
He's a braised oxtail. Braised ribs. Every time I'm in Atlanta, I come down here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That is the best 14-yard gain I've ever seen. And it might be the best 14-yard gain I've ever seen in all of football, including video games. I mean, that was insane. And you know what? To pile on top of that, and to make it worse, first of all, that was on national television, by the way. Second of all, the cornerback that got hurdled, he is a rookie. A rookie. Imagine your welcome to the NFL moment is you getting fucking hurdled backwards by Saquon Barkley. That is fucking embarrassing.
Bad looks, dude.
Just horrible, man.
If I was that guy, I would definitely go up to Saquon and be like, yeah, hi. Can I get a signed autograph of your jersey, please? Thank you.
I saw a TikTok about this earlier, and the comments were fucking nuts. They're like, if I was him, I'm hanging the cleats up immediately. At halftime, I was like, bro, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, dude, it's a bad look.
Oh, my God.
It is. But what a play by Saquon, though, honestly. Yeah. What a play.
Yeah.
That's some Madden. Speaking of good looks, thank you, Keaton. Yes. For you 49er fans, we all should be jumping up and down, cheering, you know, celebrating like it's the 4th of July. Because the 49ers on Monday opened the practice window for Christian McCaffrey and designated him for return off the injured reserve list as he returns from the Achilles tendonitis in both legs.
Daddy. Zach,
take it away, buddy.
I said it earlier. I got a little hyped. I wore the jersey backwards. I am back on the 49ers fucking hype train, baby. We're winning it all. We're winning out. I'm just kidding. No, realistically, I mean, it's fucking awesome to see CMC back. And the 49ers have got a lot of good news. A lot of good news. Realistically, there's kind of like a balance. We didn't really trade for anyone. However, we got fucking help. Juwan Jennings is back. CMC is back. Dre Greenlaw is running around in practice. He is practicing. Dre Greenlaw, who tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. Great news. Feliciano, who's going to be probably our left guard because I think Pooney. No, we might move him to right guard. We're going to move him to one of the guards in which Pooney, our rookie, is not playing. So we have four guys coming back. Didn't trade for anyone. CMC is coming back, who, again, I'm sorry. And realistically, you know, you can't really make an argument going back into the past or looking into the future, but CMC should have won fucking MVP last year because the way that this team has looked without him and the way that he fucking impacts games and what he did last year compared to what the 49ers look like this year, he should have won MVP. And I'm extremely happy to see him come back. And again, I'm not hopping on the bandwagon too fucking quickly. I think the 49ers can win their first three games back from the bye, get healthier, and continue to win out. However, I just don't want to see CMC get fucking 30 attempts on the first game. Even if it's a game against the Bucks, I'd rather lose and CMC be healthy than him fucking go crazy and get tendonitis for the rest of the year. Like, I would rather us ease him in and actually, you know, have him be healthy for the rest of the games that matter when it comes to the crunch time and playoffs. But yeah, healthy and happy is what CMC looked like during practice. And, you know, I'm a happy 49ers fan. I'm just hoping that this is the start of a crazy comeback to a start of the year that has been probably the worst I've seen in the last 5 years. So
me too. I would love for you guys
to I really am like happy about this. I'm excited, but I just don't want us to have him jump in and get injured again or us play him too much, man. Cause even fucking last year, I know Shanahan likes to feed his best players the ball, but it's like, this shit happens when you give the fucking dude 2,000 touches in a game. It's like, it's bound to happen. But no, I'm really excited, and I'm hoping that we can go on a crazy win streak. That's the hope. But again, I'm not like too excited yet. I need to see it happen.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Well, moving on to a team that has a crazy losing streak. The New Orleans Saints.
Seven.
I see. It's not good. It's not good.
It's worse.
It's worse. Dennis Allen was fired, by the way, boys. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
We did.
So the
Continue. Sorry.
The Saints fired head coach Dennis Allen on Monday, a day after the team suffered their seventh straight loss, which is the longest losing streak for the franchise since 1999. That is insane, holy by the way, boys. Shit. That's like when we were born. What the shit?
Oh, my God.
The assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, Jaron Rizzi, was named as the interim coach. So
crazy.
I mean,
I'm not going to say we called it.
We called this. I mean, we had a segment based off of coaches
who we thought was going to be fired.
And I think he is number one. All of our conversation. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
My crazy stat of the week. I was going to save it, but I'm just going to bring it up now. If you guys are okay with that, it's relevant to the topic at hand.
Yep.
Dennis Allen presumably finishes career with a 26-53 record. That is a 0.329 winning percentage in six seasons as a head coach. Just 10% of coaches have made it seven seasons or more with a career record below 0.400. It's kind of a miracle that he made it this far.
Oh my God.
I wonder where that ranks in like all-time bad records for coaches. It's got to be
at this point in his career.
There are a lot of bad coaches.
I don't.
There are a lot.
Yeah, I could find it out right now though.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I mean, let's hope the Saints get better, but man, oh man. I mean, it kind of seems like they're offloading everyone right now. They are rebuilding within the year and signing old veterans such as Alvin Kamara, which again, like you said, Keen, sometimes the grass is not greener on the other side. But
sometimes grass is not
greener. To get rid of what the fuck is his name? We literally just talked about him. Lattimore. To get rid of Lattimore and then to fire a head coach, it's like, what the hell are you doing after being in super, super fucking deep cap space and then signing a running back that's 31 years old? Like, it's not making a lot of sense how they're running that organization. And yeah, I just don't think it's going to get better. I think they're going to tank.
Okay, so for coaches who have played five or have coached five or more seasons, Dennis Allen ranks as the sixth lowest win percentage in NFL history. And that's tracking. Burt Bell in 1936, David Shula in 1992. Okay, you have Pat Shermer in 2011, Joe Bugel in 1990, Harlan Savare 1962, and then you have Bill McPeak in 1961. But of the modern coaches, he is there with Hugh Jackson, and that's kind of it. And Pat Shermer.
That's not a good list to be on. Not a good one.
Not a good one.
But good. I mean, where do the Saints go from here, man? Like, you're in cap space hell. You're still fucking paying. What's his face? Slant Boy. You're still fucking paying Slant Boy.
And Famous Jameis.
Like, I cannot believe they're in negative cap space. It's insane. That
not just negative.
They're still paying Jameis Winston. They're still fucking paying Willie or Michael Thomas. They just got rid of Marshawn Lattimore, who I guarantee they're still going to be fucking paying because that contract was huge at the ad. And then they fucking sign a running back, Alvin Kamara, for what, a 3-year fucking contract when you're already in cap space hell? I mean, they got to be a top five worst ran organization in the league.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good at all.
No, bad.
But that's the news, fellas. We made it through.
The news.
This is the news. Let's dive into a little bit of how our fantasy went this week, boys. Fantasy, definitely an interesting week. I'll go first. I ended up beating Diego this week. Diego continues to be winless. Thank God I'm not the one to lose to him.
He might skunk, dude. He's really going
to
skunk.
It'd be bad. We need to get him a special trophy if he skunks, if he loses all the way. But I won 141-84. Best player, Saquon Barkley with 32 points. Also, honorable mention, shout out to Zay Flowers with dropping a 30 bomb as well. Worst player, Kyler Murray. You know, he's too busy with double XP grind as well with Black Ops 6. I get it. But, dude, come on, man. You gotta win these games. Or not, you did win, but, you know, you just got to play better. You got to play better, buddy.
We got money on the line here, pal.
Exactly. Most disappointing, Jonathan Taylor. I have no words for that. He dropped 9 points. Not the greatest, but all good. I still won that week. I'm happy about it. The come up is happening for me. Keaton.
Yeah, I didn't play well. I lost to John 88.3 points, 155 against. It is what it is. I have not been able to get consistency in my tight end room. And this week was no different. DK Metcalf, I was hoping was going to play, and they decided they just didn't feel confident to rush him before the bye week. So I had to throw Keon Coleman in there who, hey, a couple weeks ago was fucking cooking. And I felt like it might actually be on the come up. And then I had to put Cole Kmet in at my flex position. So it was kind of a double whammy. Cole Kmet, who had like 19 points last week after I didn't play him, had 0 points this week as a fully healthy player, so didn't even get a catch. And Keon Coleman had 5 points. So between two of my most important positions, I netted a grand total of 5. Kyren Williams, most disappointing. I mean, we talked about this. Seattle run defense was very, very consistently good, which is crazy and frustrating at the same time. He puts up 10.5 points. And then best player, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I literally... Everybody finished under their projected for my team. and I was like, you know, that's fine. I can put DK Metcalf in this week. Well, he's on bye. So I probably, you know, this isn't a year that I make the playoffs. It's a year I go out like a bitch. So.
Yep. Well, I'm in the same boat because, go for it.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask, did Cole Kmet, did he even get a target?
I don't know, actually. I didn't look too closely. I saw the
he dropped a donut. I don't think I would have checked either.
what did no? Because I
Krispy Kreme donut.
God, that sounds nice right now. Cole Kmet had 5 receptions for 70 yards, and two touchdowns on October 13th. Then on October 27th, one catch for 14 yards. So I was like, it's like every other. And nope, it was not every other. In fact, he got worse.
He didn't get a single target.
Nope,
he didn't get a single target.
Not good. Oh, and he was God, healthy the whole game?
Oh, yep. Healthy. Man.
Not good.
Sorry, no. Zach, to interrupt.
Speaking about really I mean, my team is just ass yet again. I lost to Mitch, who's the best team in our division, which is that pee-pee or poo-poo? We're pee-pee,
we're in poo-poo.
Right?
No, we're, no
we're in poo-poo. We're in poo-poo.
Oh, poo-poo.
So Mitch has a pee-pee very good
poo-poo
team.
Man.
He beat me 138.08 to 105.62. My best yet again was Kate Otten. And what is really sad about this is every single week I go and look at most disappointing, worst, best. I think for six out of the how many games we played so far? Nine games enough. So far this year. I have had a tight end or a kicker be my best performer. Not good.
No.
I added just a little honorable mention kind of title to this because I wanted to give a shout out to Davante Adams, who actually had a fucking touchdown this week. 22.1 points. He wasn't my best because I think a tight end dropping 21.7 is better than a wide receiver dropping 22.1. But I wanted to give That's him Davante that. Adams. My most disappointing was Jordan Love. Again, 10.92. Just he is Brett Favre 2.0, Keaton. That is probably the best comparison that you've made all year.
Look at those numbers.
And then my worst was Jeremy McNichols, who is a Boise State alumni. Shout out to you. There's been some games this year where he's dropped 20, 10. I wake up at 8:45, hungover as hell. I'm like, yeah, let's do this, right? Let's set my lineup. Brian Robinson Jr. out, hamstring. What? Was supposed to play this whole fucking week, so I go and pick up his backup thinking maybe 10 points would be nice. No, he had two points, fellas. 2 points on the fucking dot. So yeah, that's how my fantasy week went. And is that how many games have I lost in a row now?
You've only lost one game in a row. You won the past
one game. One game.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't win last week. I know that for sure.
Anyway.
So oh, you're on a two. You're a two loss win streak. You're a two loss streak.
Two bagger. Yeah, well, we're both on the two.
It's not
loss
getting better because I got Jordan Love on a fucking bye. My team's ass. And by the way, I had to play two tight ends.
Kate Otten, I had to run the double tight end.
Yeah, and TJ Hawkinson's who I said, fuck it. It's his first fucking game of the year. It's his debut. What if he goes crazy? I have nothing to lose because my bench fucking scored 5 points combined. And he did nothing. He had 5.7 points.
So. If you played me, you would have won by a lot. So just take that into account.
You're going to be my biggest op if you don't come back and play well. So,
Zach, on the bright side, you got to look at it. You got to look at it this way, man. You broke 100 points.
I broke 100 points, and realistically, who's the best still in this little group we got going here of in the end zone?
This is Keaton and I are 4-5, and you're 5-4.
Thanks, bud. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yep.
No, so put that in a statement. Put that in a statement then. Because you answered the question, but you didn't say who's the best, so.
I'm the best.
No, just put it in a statement for me, Anthony. Just say, out of the in the end zone boys, blank is the best at fantasy.
Out of the in the end zone boys, Zach has the better record than Keaton and I.
However, if you combine,
my point four like, might be the second
cross multiplication. If you do cross multiplication here, technically, and you combine our wins. We have a combined
points four.
8 wins and Zach only has 5 wins. So really,
really fuck that better. Zach, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck that dude.
Anyway.
I want to see the points four because I actually think I might have the second least.
I have the fourth most.
962. I have the second least in the poo-poo side and I poo-poo. Have the
wild. So wild.
Fourth worst out of everyone in our league. So. Not good. My team's boys. Fun.
Keaton already gave off his crazy stat of the week. We love to hear it, Keaton, every single week. And all thanks, the fans man. That are looking forward to it. We all love it.
Yep.
Crazy. And now moving on into our NFL Week 10 predictions. Here we go, boys. Starting off with Thursday Night Football, we have the Bengals at Ravens. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna go with the Ravens on this.
Yeah, give me Baltimore. You know who I'm running with. Give me the Bengals, baby.
MVP one versus MVP two.
Yep.
And I'm taking MVP one. Give me Lamar and the Ravens.
Yep. Give me the Bengals.
And then going into Sunday morning, we have the Patriots at Bears.
Bears. Give me the Bears.
Give me the Bears.
I'm going to go with the Bears. Nice. That defense is too good against the Patriots offense, unfortunately. The Giants at Panthers. Probably our meme matchup of the week, fellas.
Yeah, take the Panthers. Is.
Why not?
Give me the Giants.
I'm going to go with the Giants.
Why not us? Yep. Give me the Panthers.
Yeah, they're not running back to back.
Why not us?
The next game we have is the Broncos at Chiefs.
Is this the first time that they played all year?
Yes. Maybe.
Let's see. Broncos schedule. Let's see if they play them twice or if they've already played them. Fuck. This is their first time of the year. Is this in Denver? No, this is at Kansas City. Yeah, give me Kansas City. Give me Kansas City.
I'm going to take the Chiefs as well. Keaton, are you going to ride with Kansas City or are you going to go underdog?
Yeah. I have to go Kansas City. I have to. I really don't want to, but I have to. I have to.
You got to. At this point, you're kind of inclined to, no matter who they
play. Locked in. We have to be locked in.
Unless they play the Lions.
Yeah. The next game we have is the Steelers at Commanders.
It's at the Commanders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in Washington.
FedEx Field, baby.
Give me the Commanders.
I'm going to go with Commanders as well.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Okay.
I knew you would.
Going on the Russ
Wilson. And Russ Retrust.
And Russ Retrust.
Next game is Vikings at Jags. Now, I know the Vikings, you know, they've been on a little bit of a struggle lately, but you know what? I'm going to have to go with the Vikings still.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to take the Jags.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the Jags.
Okay. I'm going to say this real quick. I'm going to take the Vikings and my crazy prediction of the week. Doug Peterson gets fired after this week.
Really? Whoa.
Why not?
Whoa.
Why not?
Whoa.
Why not us? Why not us?
Look, man. I'm telling you. The Vikings, the last couple of games, just not look good.
Look, I mean, they played well
against
this.
The Lions, and then they played bad against the Rams and bad against a Colts fucking team that looks lost right now. Jacksonville played the Eagles better, and they played them good. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and pick my big upset of the week with Jacksonville.
Okay. I'm going Vikings. Doug Peterson, you're out.
I'm going Vikings as well.
I like that, though. Honestly, I hope that Doug doesn't have a starting coaching job after this week because he is awful. He is poor.
He's really not good. 2-7. Yeah. 2-7, 2-8.
The next set of games that we have are the Falcons at Saints.
Yeah, give me the Falcons. We don't even have to talk about this one.
Yep. Mm-mm.
Next one, we have the Niners in Tampa Bay.
I'm going to say the Niners, but I think it's going to go down this fashion. The 49ers get up big, CMC plays well, doesn't play a lot, and then they make it one of those games where I just have way, way too much anxiety, and they give up a 13-point lead. We're only up like 3 going to the fourth and somehow pulled out. That's my prediction.
I'm going to take the 49ers as well. That Bucs defense just ain't there anymore. Sorry.
And that offense, I mean, they were clicking against the Chiefs, but man, oh man, they do not have a lot of weapons.
Not much going on anymore.
Nope.
Next game, we have the Bills at Colts. Give me the Bills.
Yeah, give me the Bills. Has it been announced if Joe Flacco is starting again? Or
Joe Flacco is going to start, dude. There's just no way.
Yeah. Joe Flacco.
I can tell you right now.
That offense, look, I know Joe Flacco gives them a better passing game or more consistent passing game, but they're just not dynamic with Joe Flacco. And not to say they are with Anthony Richardson, but at least they score and can run the ball.
You can afford less mistakes with Joe Flacco, though.
That is fair.
But there's just no threat of running the ball at all. Like, he's just so.
Doesn't matter. They play better. They play better.
Doesn't run around in the pocket. He's just
doesn't matter. They play better. That team plays better when he's there.
They're more competitive. So. I just don't think they're as dynamic. We'll see though. We'll see.
When the Colts run the ball with Anthony Richardson, he gets too tired though. So I mean, why would they?
No, that is fair. That is fair.
God, he's almost 40 years old.
Yeah,
he's in a crazy world.
Not Joe, but
so
Lay Flacco.
All in agreement, the Bills for that game? Okay. Yep. Moving on to the Sunday afternoon games. We have the Titans at Chargers. God, snooze fest. Give me the Chargers.
The Chargers. That is going to be a defensive game. That's like a 27 game.
Something crazy about the stat. The Chargers have only given up 100 points so far this season on defense. Really so wow. Give me the Chargers. Give me the Chargers.
Okay.
And hey, I know you guys are hating, but Justin Herbert, he should be in the MVP talk.
Oh, my goodness, brother.
Oh, God.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on to the next game is the Eagles at Cowboys. Yeah,
Jesus. Well,
with Dak Prescott out now and potentially CeeDee Lamb as well. And especially
and Micah Parsons.
And Micah Parsons, you know.
He might be out as well, that pussy.
The Cowboys fucking suck, by the way, boys. And that, and don't quote that on me. Quote that on Dak Prescott. He said it himself.
Yeah, we fucking suck.
Yep.
And I quote.
Yeah. So give me the Eagles.
Yeah, give me the Eagles. I'm sorry, the Eagles are heating up right at the right time. Just pointing that out.
So, the next game we have the Jets at Cardinals.
I'm not gonna lie, I think this is gonna be a really competitive game. But
I'm
really hoping that the Jets win this, so I'm gonna go with the Jets just because I need them to win. But I could see the Cardinals winning this one. I could see the Cardinals winning this one for sure. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Jets just because I want them to win, but I think my gut is telling me the Cardinals should win, especially at home. I don't know. I think
the Cardinals are going to win this. That's my
Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets in this one.
All right. So, moving on to Sunday Night Football, we have the Lions at Texans. Jeez Louise. Give me the Lions.
I agree. Yeah, give me the Lions. And Giants. I will say this, if the Texans get fucking blown out, I'm not going to say it's time to start hitting the panic button just because they're going to win that division. But man, oh man, they do not look like they're going to be a contender if that is the case. So we shall see.
Mm-hmm. And then on to the last game of week 10, Monday Night Football. We have the Dolphins at Rams. This actually could be a good game.
It could be a competitive game, too. Yeah.
This could be a good game.
I think it's going to be a good one. It's going to be like a 27-24 type of game. Yeah. Fuck, dude. The Rams are kind of on a heater right now. Give me the Rams. Something's clicking with Puka and that offense. That defense plays better when the offense is better. I just see it happen, unfortunately, because I really don't want them to win. But, yeah, I think the Rams are going to win, realistically. And I'm just so off the Dolphins bandwagon. Like, I just think that they're going to lose a lot of games this year and be bad. Mm-hmm.
I'm off the Dolphins bandwagon, but I'm not on the Rams bandwagon yet.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yet. Okay.
So I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Obviously. I am going to be going with the Rams, I think, on this one.
God, I'm really fucking hoping that you guys all lose just because. We shall see. That's going to be a good game, though.
It will be.
Yeah.
That wraps up this week's episode, fellas. Is there anything else, last-minute comments you guys would like to make before we end the show?
Doug Peterson. Enjoy the soup kitchen, my brother. You're gone next week.
Later, brother.
Second down at 6. Fake to Williams. Stafford fires downfield. And it is caught for a touchdown by Robinson. The Rams win it.